This is The Week in Addiction Medicine, a podcast resource of timely news and top stories brought to you by the American Society of Addiction Medicine, ASAM.
Today is Tuesday, May 14th, and I'm Claire Rasmussen. Our lead story this week in International Journal of Drug Policy is titled Associations of Cannabis Use, Use Frequency, and Cannabis Use Disorder with Violent Behavior Among Young Adults in the United States. The authors used the 2015 to 2019 National Survey on Drug Use and Health to better explore this association and found an increased prevalence of violent behavior among males reporting daily cannabis use and without cannabis use disorder versus no cannabis use. However, there was no increase among males reporting non-daily cannabis use with or without cannabis use disorder. Researchers also found an increase in violent behavior among females reporting non-daily use with or without CUD and daily use with or without CUD. Next is an article in JAMA titled Smoking Cessation After Initial Treatment Failure with Varenicline or Nicotine Replacement. This study provides clinicians with guidance on the best rescue strategies for non-abstinence after initial treatment failure for smoking cessation. Patients receiving varenicline or combination nicotine replacement therapy who were non-abstinent after 6 weeks were randomized to continue their medication, increase the dosage, or switch medication. Increasing the dosage led to the greatest benefit for those originally taking varenicline, while those receiving combination nicotine replacement therapy benefited similarly from dosage increase and switching to varenicline. A new study in JAMA Network Open is titled Risk of Adverse Neonatal Outcomes After Combined Prenatal Cannabis and Nicotine Exposure. In this population-based cohort study of more than 3.1 million pregnant individuals, combined use of cannabis and nicotine products in pregnancy was associated with an increased risk of maternal and neonatal morbidity compared with use of either substance alone, including infant and neonatal death. These findings suggest that more effective public health measures and counseling prior to conception and during pregnancy are warranted to mitigate the potential for adverse offspring outcomes from combined prenatal cannabis and nicotine use. Next is a study in drug and alcohol dependence titled Growing Importance of High-Volume Buprenorphine Prescribers in OUD Treatment. The number of prescribers eligible to receive buprenorphine has increased, but there hasn't been a great increase in patients receiving BUP. This study utilized pharmacy claims data to examine prescriber characteristics between 2009 and 2018. The number of low-volume prescribers, or under 30 patients per month, was flat until 2017 when advanced practice providers became eligible. The number of high-volume prescribers, or over 30 patients per month, increased over the study period, and by 2018, they provided 80% of all prescriptions. The subset of very high prescribers, or 100-plus patients per month, accounted for 41%. A new study in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry is titled A Randomized, Double-Blind, Placebo-Controlled Pilot Trial of the Acute Anti-Suicidal and Antidepressant Effects of Intranasal Ketamine in Severe Unipolar and Bipolar Depression with and without comorbid alcohol use. Patients were randomized to receive intranasal ketamine of 50 milligrams or intranasal saline. The ketamine group showed a rapid improvement in depression scores that was not affected by the type of mood disorder or presence or absence of AUD. However, in patients without AUD, improvements in depression and suicidal ideation were correlated, but no correlation was observed in patients with comorbid AUD. The authors conclude that intranasal ketamine produced rapid improvement in depression without significant effect on suicidal ideation. A new article in the New England Journal of Medicine is titled Reengineering Addiction: The Tobacco Industry's Potential Response to a Nicotine Standard for Cigarettes. This letter discusses the FDA proposal to limit nicotine content in cigarettes to low levels that would reduce smoking initiation and facilitate smoking cessation. The letter describes numerous tactics that the cigarette industry could use to evade these limits, such as modifying the makeup of the tobacco or filter to increase nicotine delivery. The authors warn that such tactics need to be considered if nicotine regulations are to be effective. Next is an article in Nicotine and Tobacco Research titled Commercial Tobacco and Nicotine Industry-Funded Research Has No Place in SRNT and Nicotine and Tobacco Research. In this editorial, the authors propose changes to policies at the Society for Research on Nicotine and Tobacco, or SNRT, and the Nicotine and Tobacco Research Journal, or NTR, to limit the influence of the tobacco industry on science and related harms. They propose including any entity associated with manufacture, marketing, or distribution of nicotine and tobacco products in the definition of industry, and prohibit individuals receiving any financial support from that industry from participating in SNRT in any way. Finally, procedures to ensure the SNRT and NTR teams disclose these conflicts need to be put in place. Our final article in Cochrane Database of Systematic Reviews is titled Psychosocial and Medication Interventions to Stop or Reduce Alcohol Consumption During Pregnancy. This review assessed the efficacy of psychosocial interventions and medications to reduce or stop alcohol consumption during pregnancy. The authors found that brief psychosocial interventions may increase the rate of continuous abstinence among pregnant women who report alcohol use during pregnancy. This concludes today's episode of This Week in Addiction Medicine. Remember to subscribe to the ASAM Weekly for more exclusive content and our editor's commentary delivered every Tuesday. Be sure to check us out on social media and asam.org. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.